We now have the servers sit over here so that they can get a good view. You might want to make room for the two others that are coming here. So Christ is risen. All right, so you didn't remember it from last year. He is risen indeed is the response. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. So we have a number of guests on this holiest of nights, so I want to give y'all a warm welcome to St. John, the Mother Church of Jackson. A number of you are relatives and friends of our catechumens and candidates. This may be your very first time at an Easter vigil for you, and maybe it's even the first time at Mass. Just to let you know, the length of Mass isn't normal, all right? A regular Sunday Mass is a little bit over an hour long. Depends if Father Brian or I are preaching. No. Anyway, thank you for your moral support, your spiritual support that you have given to your relative or friend receiving the sacraments of initiation this evening. I'm sure they're so very grateful for your presence on this holy night. Brothers and sisters, on this sacred solemnity of the Easter Vigil, death has been given its death blow. And the death he defeated, of course, was not just the death of the grave, but even more profoundly, Jesus has defeated the death of the spirit, the death of all those evil spirits that wreak havoc on the human family and snuff out the full life God wants for each of us. Those evil spirits such as unforgiveness and pride and greed and lust, gluttony, envy, sloth, and wrath. All those things that divide and destroy and cause us to be zombies, if you will. That is, alive in some sense, but dead spiritually. Dead in all those things that make us human. Our freedom, our creativity, our capacity to love in the way that God loves. It's the victory of Christ over these life-draining things that we celebrate this evening. And in their place, the life of Christ is given to us. The very life of God the Son is given to us. He who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See, all those things that we see that Jesus exemplified on the cross, that we've meditated upon in this Holy Week, his spirit of forgiveness and humility, his spirit of patience and generosity, his spirit of love and fidelity, he offers to us, his disciples. But for us to receive that resurrected life, we have to become a part of him, united with him as part of his mystical body, and desirous of fulfilling his will over our own, which is all too often imperfect, isn't it? This intimate union and this kind of relationship the Lord wants with each of us. We have all kinds of relationships in our lives, right? With the people in our lives. We can be distant acquaintances with people. We can have a work relationship with people. We can have a social media relationship with people. We can have a social circles relationship with people, or with our people in our neighborhood, or at the gym, or the club, or through some interest or hobby. But then we have those more intimate relationships with people who are close friends and family. Now, the kind of relationship Jesus wants with us is more of that latter kind. And that's why Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Friends. That's why our faith uses the language of brothers and sisters when we address one another. That's why we call God our Father, and why the scriptures say that God wants to espouse us, marry us, if you will. Why Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. And why Jesus says that we are to be united to him, that we are one with him and each other, just as the Father and the Son are one. In other words, he invites us into a full communion with him, a complete sharing of our human life with his divine life. That's why he calls the church his mystical body. He is the head and we are his body, and individually members of that body. And tonight, we're just absolutely delighted in the fact that we will be incorporating into that one body of Christ 9 catechumens through the sacrament of baptism. Along with these 9 to be baptized are another 9 confirmandi. That's what we call our candidates who will be confirmed into full communion with the Catholic faith. So we have a total of 18 people who will be received into the church, right? Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Go ahead and clap. People who will receive the very life of Jesus Christ and made one with him. 18 people whose lives we snatch from death. Jesus said to Martha, and by extension to each and every one of us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked her. Do you believe this? Jesus asked you. And these 18 people tonight have committed to saying yes to that question in front of all of us. As I do each year, I've asked them to share with me how God has brought them to this point in their faith journey. So I'd like to share a few excerpts of that, of their stories, in order to give you concrete examples of this victory that over death that Christ has won for us, his victory over anything that kills the life of love and the life of virtue in us. Now, what struck me about this year's crop of catechumens and candidates was how a number of them are related to the people who were initiated at last year's Easter Vigil. The witness of Jesus working his wonders in the life of their loved ones helped draw them into desiring that life for themselves, right? For example, we have Erica Krusik right there, the fiance of Pedro Tovar, who was confirmed last year. And Erica and Pedro, could you stand up and wave so the folks know where you are there? There they are. Thank you. So Erica shared this with me. I was raised in a two-parent loving and caring environment, but no religion. I was always taught that family was everything, and it is, but there was always something missing, especially as I entered my teens and early 20s. I often found myself trying to fill my void with negative things, and it was never satisfying. And I knew if I kept on this path, I would self-destruct. So this brings me to my mid-20s when I was introduced to Pedro Tovar through mutual friends. I found that we were spending a lot of time together, and I would accompany him to St. John's Church, mainly on Christmas. At first, it was overwhelming and confusing. You feel out of place when you don't know any of the responses, and I never went up to get blessed. A lot of my family and friends asked if I would burst into flames when I stepped foot into the church. At that time, I was not ready. So fast forward 11 years, Pedro and I went through some rocky times, feeling lost, not knowing if I was on the right track with my life. Pedro and I decided to work it out. By this time, our baby Delaney was just born. I never gave up on Pedro, and looking back now, I know why. Pedro listens to Family Life Radio and actually heard about a game to play with your significant other, and he was excited to offer this to me. The rules were you have to pick one thing that would affect our relationship positively. Write it down on a piece of paper, and you have to agree to do this thing before you open the other person's paper. So I reluctantly agreed, not having any clue what he had written. I remember opening up that piece of paper and seeing, "I'd like for you to attend Mass with me every Sunday." I instantly fired back with, "Well, fine, but I want to go to other churches to see which one is right for me." Pedro seemed hesitant, but agreed, and that next Sunday we went to a non-denominational church. I knew almost instantly when we walked in, there were no crosses anywhere, and I felt that we were at a Christian rock concert. I knew it was not home for us. While I was still trying to figure out where I wanted to go, we were still attending St. John's, and Pedro decided he wanted to be confirmed. And in order to do that, you have to go to take RCIA classes. So I thought, I will join him because I had a lot being in caps, of questions. Todd and Angel, right here, they're the ones who coordinate our RCIA class, were very welcoming and very knowledgeable. The first class definitely piqued my interest, and I wanted to learn more. I felt on fire inside. Pedro told me that was the Holy Spirit working within me. I tried to read as many books as I could get my hands on, and we also went to Alpha, which I loved, and I went to almost every RCIA class. I watched Pedro get confirmed, so that was last year, and I also watched the people getting baptized. As they were getting baptized, I found myself crying. I thought, what a beautiful sacrament to be in communion with Jesus and have your sins washed away. I thought to myself, I want that. I've been doing RCIA classes for 15 years now, and I know that this is my journey. And not everyone will understand it, but they don't have to, because I know I am on the right path. Because when I walk into my church, I feel at home. I also want to thank Todd and Angel. She said, "Without you, I would not be where I am today. You are amazing teachers with a ton of patience and a lot of love." I also want to thank Pedro Tovar, as he truly is the one that brought me to this church. And I also want to thank Shane for doing Alpha. That program is amazing, and it really opened my eyes and my heart to the Catholic faith. And I just want to say, if there is anyone out there like me, hesitant or resistant, keep an open mind and search for the true, and it will lead you where you need to be. So thank you for sharing that, Erica. Another one who was related to one of the confirmandi from last year is Robert Moore Jumonville. Jumonville or Jumonville? Okay. Better known to his theology at Spring Arbor University as one of the Mojos. That's probably why I don't even know how to pronounce it. I've always been calling you Mojo. So if you recall, the other Mojo, his wife Kimberly, Moore Jumonville, was confirmed last year. She too is a professor at Spring Arbor, but she's in the English department. In fact, she chairs the English department. So that's maybe why she's such a good lector. She read tonight. Could you two please stand up and wave so that folks know who you are over there? And we have one of their guests is one of our concelebrants. Father Bernie was actually the one who taught us at the discernment of spirits while I was in seminary. So great to see you. He looks the same as he did 12 years ago. So that's great. Let's give him a welcome. So the decision to become Catholic was a little bit more complicated for Robert, because he's a professor of theology at a Methodist university. But thank goodness for how far ecumenism has come, because they're okay with having a Catholic now on their theology faculty. Robert was a Methodist pastor, in fact, for a couple of decades after he got his Master of Divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary. He also got his PhD studying the history of Christianity at the University of Iowa. So now, being so credentialed and steeped in Christianity, you may think Robert was, you know, born with a Bible in his hand. But that would be far from the truth. He was going deeply down the wrong path in his youth. He said this, "I took drugs, drank way too much, totaled 4 cars, and I'm fortunate to have survived my teens. I avoided going to church, right? So for those parents with troubled youth, there is hope. You should only start getting worried when your kid has totaled his 5th car. So Robert has so much to his incredible journey that I'm going to save it for some of it for another homily. Let's just say that while it was good to have one of the mojos with us, having both of them is more of a good thing. So thank you. But that's another thing that strikes me with the faith journeys of folks coming into the church, not just in this year, but in all the years past, is that their stories shatter the myth that you somehow have to get it together before you decide to become a Christian. It's the total opposite, right? As the saying goes, the church isn't a museum of saints, it's a hospital for sinners. And Jesus, the divine physician, will continue his healing work in all of us until we are made whole with him in heaven. Remember that we don't earn God's love by being good. He already loves us. Remember the parable of the prodigal son. God's love comes first. He's the initiator. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So someone who appreciates that truth is Sarah Hendricks, whom I appreciate because when I washed her feet at the Mass of the Lord's Supper, she looked like she just had walked out of the salon from a pedicure. So I'm thinking, you know, those feet don't need any washing. Unlike some other feet I've washed through the years. Anyway, her story reminds us cradle Catholics of something we often take for granted, and that is the blessing that we have in being able to celebrate Holy Mass. She shared this. We all have our flaws. We all sin in different ways. My life isn't perfect, but I am very happy with the way it's going. We all have a past. I've struggled with depression and anxiety. By the way, I asked everybody if I could use their stuff before. I have struggled with depression and anxiety since high school. I have my good days and I have my bad days. Before adding church into my life, I was in a bad place. I felt like no matter what I did or said, it was always wrong, making me feel like I'm a failure, like I shouldn't be where I am because of my past. Before I started RCIA, I was attending Mass. Every time I walked out of the church after Mass, I just felt pure happiness. I can't even explain it. Then I started RCIA, and that's when I really got pulled in. One thing that sticks with me is that God knows your heart, and if God can forgive, that is all that matters. I walked into a room full of strangers one Wednesday and felt more welcome than I do when I am at a family gathering. The same goes for each Mass my kids and I attend. Everyone is so welcoming. Every time I walk out of the church, I get this feeling that God is telling me everything is gonna be okay. So Sarah is bringing someone into the church with her. And that's her dad, Philip Hendricks, who was never baptized. We're going to change that. So Jesus is once again accomplishing his work of unity, right? Phil, her dad shared this. This past year, my daughter wanted to become Catholic. I thought, I'm going to do it with her so that she'll always remember this and that I did it for her. Once I started the class, I found that I was enjoying the way the class was presented as well as the people in it. I then found myself enjoying and learning things that I had struggled with in the past. Then it hit me. I realized I'm doing this for me. So let's thank both Sarah and Phil for sharing. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. So Sarah didn't want to be pointed out. So that's why I didn't ask her to stand up. So now she did do that with a smiley face, so I'm not sure if she was serious. So just to play safe, I'm not going to point her out. So a final quote I want to share is that of Mindy Everett. In her past, she practiced witchcraft, but has found her way back to the Lord. She struggled with spina bifida all her life. She checked out our parish online when she was looking for a church, and she read someone's review that said how active the Holy Spirit was in our parish. And she visited this past Christmas Eve, and she said, "I knew this church was for me. This was my home." And I love this quote from her. She said, "I know this might sound strange, but the kinds of churches I had been before, the women were all wealthy looking, big diamonds and big hair, lots of perfect dresses and rhinestone Jesus pins. Seeing you as a priest acting so normal, like anyone and like everyone else, it was a relief. I am far from perfect, about as far as perfect as one could get. At least that's how I used to feel. Now that I know I was born perfect, my flesh just hasn't gotten itself in line with the Word of God just yet. But it will. Sooner or later, it will." So that's someone who realizes that God is faithful to his promise, that he will bring to perfection all those who give him permission and trust in him, that he will complete the good work begun in you. So we are his beloved children, and he will transform us into the identity that he gives us at baptism and confirmation, that of beloved sons and daughters of God. So that's a sampling, just 5 of the amazing ways that God has brought these 18 people into the church. I would have loved to share with you about all of them, but we'd be here all night, all right? So let's give all of them a hand for their openness. Yeah. I'm struck by the variety of folks from all different walks of life that reflects the authentic universality of the church that God calls each and every one of us. I mean, in the Deckers here in the front row, we have a family of 4 who decided to come into the church as a family. In Madigan Gannon, we have a high school senior at Lumen who got involved with our youth group, got on fire with her faith, and decided she wanted to receive the confirmation she had skipped, right, in 8th grade. In Ron Cochran, also in the first row here, we have someone who came up to me after a funeral when I had invited people to follow Jesus as the deceased had, and sincerely moved as he was by the Holy Spirit, he came up to me in tears after the funeral with no hello, but simply said 3 words: "I am ready," with tears flowing in his eyes. And so with that, I ask all our catechumens and candidates, are you ready? Well, let's rock and roll then. All right.